better known as Nachmanides. The Ramban was born in 1194, died in 1290. We'll start off with his youth. He was born in a city called Gerona, which is a city in southern Spain. He became very well educated. He learned medicine. He eventually became a doctor, actually. He was well educated in philosophy, in Kabbalah, in Tanakh, in Gemara. Tremendously broad, well-rounded education. His Rebbe, Rebbeim, which you'll see a lot influenced where he went and who he became. Rav Nassim ben Meir from, I hope I pronounced it correctly, from Trinquetali, TrinquetAille. Again, TrinquetAille. It's a place in southern France. How do you pronounce it? Funky? Trinquetali? Okay. That was one of his Rebbeim, Rav Nissim ben Meir. And the other one was the Ritzva. And they were both Talmidim of the Rei. And it's important because although the Ramban was Sephardic and lived in Spain, there was a very strong Ashkenazic French influence on him. And we'll see a little bit later when we talk about how he learned. He was very much influenced by the Chachmei HaTosfos, by the Baalei HaTosfos. He lived in Christian Spain. He was influenced by Christian Spain. In the 12th century, the Spanish Christian government, the kings were very favorable to the Jews, yet in the 13th century, Christians became a lot more like Christian England and Christian France, a lot more harsh, a lot more difficult in terms of giving Jews religious freedom. The Jews were forced into listening to proselyte lectures, to partake with debates, with priests, and overall, as Christian Spain got more religious, it was less good for the Jews. Again, the goal was to proselytize them, as well as debate them publicly until the Jews lost. It was always difficult. We'll see a little bit the Ramban, a very famous debate. If the Jews won by too much, they'd be killed. And if they lost, then it was machal from Shemayim. It was a very difficult balance how to handle it. That's where the Ramban grew up. The Ramban was seen as the major Sephardi gadol in Torah, certainly in terms of Christian Spain, opposed to the Rambam, which was from Muslim Spain. His Talmidim all looked at him as a towering figure. The Rashba, the Ra'ah, the Rivat, Rav Nachman ben Ramban, his son, his Kamtan Beitza. Their Talmidim looked at him as a towering figure, the Ritva, the Rabbeinu Bachya, or Bachaya. Other Chachmei Sfarad, the Ran and the Nemuchi Yosef. Even others from Germany, like the Rush. The Rush came from Germany to Spain. That's ironic, surprisingly rather, why he was Ashkenazic, but his son was Sfaradic. His son was Rav Usher. So he was Rav Usher. His son was Rav Yaakov ben Usher, who wrote the Torah. The Torah was really Sfaradic, while the Rush himself was Ashkenazic. But there was just a tremendous amount of respect that everyone had for the Ramban. And I guess I'd like to explain why that was. Partially it was because he was the beginning of their halachic culture. In other words, he was one of the earlier of the Chachmei Sfarad. And I guess similar to how Rashi was one of the earlier Rishonim, very much well respected. So too, the Ramban was one of the earlier of the Chachmei Sfarad. Yet there were others before him, like the Yad Rama. And there were others at the same time, like the Rebbe Leon, who was actually his cousin. Yet, and as much as they were great and very well respected, it wasn't really Tana Doma. The Ramban is much more towering than them. The Ramban stands out more than others, and we'll try our best to understand and see a little bit why that is the case. He was primarily responsible for bringing the Derech HaLimud for the Baalei HaTosfos to Spain, the way the Tosfos used to learn in France, which is really influenced by Rabbeinu Tam, and his Talmidim eventually made its way to the Sephardic world. The truth is, everyone before the Ramban learned differently. Everyone from the Ramban and on learned the same way. Before the Ramban, you have the Rif, who kind of wrote a halachic work according to the Seder of the Gemara. You have the Rambam, who did his own thing. The Rambam, who reorganized and restructured the Gemara. You have the Rimagash, who asked questions and gave answers. But the Ramban was the first one to write up Chidushim with the same style as the Tosfos, asking questions and giving answers, making Gemaras no longer contradict, pointing out contradictory Gemaras and coming up with resolutions and answers to them, asking 4, 5, 6 questions in a row and bringing answers that solve all the problems. It was much more essay for an essay structured in its orientation, its format, very much influenced by the by his Rebbe, the Chachmei Svard, the Chachmei Ashkenaz, rather. He had tremendous, tremendous breadth. Let's talk about his commentary on Tanakh. Specifically, we'll start with Chumash. It was very unique. For starters, he was the first one to write an introduction to Chumash. Both an introduction to Chumash as well as an introduction to each Sefer. When Rashi comments, he kind of just writes pasuk by pasuk. He writes a pasuk as a kasha on Bereishis. He writes a question and an answer, sometimes just an answer, answering the insinuated question. The Ramban is much more essay structured, just like his commentary, Gemara's commentary on Chumash. He writes an introduction to Sefer Shmos, Sefer Bereishis, Sefer Vayikra. He's the first one who really, at least you see, the first one at least who you see in his writings, who thought about and wondered, well, what is Sefer Bereishis all about? What is Shmos all about? What's our goal in Chumash? You know, he quotes a lot of the other Mefarshim. He quotes Rashi often, disagrees with him, usually for technical, but not for fundamental or ideological reasons. Usually he agrees with, you know, his the nature of his commentaries to agree with Rashi on very Yesodis Dika reasons on major Hashkafic points. The Rambam, he treats the Rambam with a tremendous amount of respect, but disagrees significantly. The Rambam really minimizes miracles and other supernatural things, while the Ramban maximizes them or disagrees much more fundamentally with the Rambam. For example, the Rambam writes that any time you ever see angels in the Bible, in the Chumash, it's always a dream. No one ever speaks to angels. No one ever has dialects with angels. No one ever has conversation. There's no give and take. And therefore, when Avram has the three angels at his house, it's a dream. And when Lot, you know, interacts with the three angels and sneaks out of stone, it's a dream. When Yaakov fights with the angel, right, Adalos HaShachar, it's a dream as well. The Ramban textually rips the Rambam to shreds. How did Lot get out of stone? Why was Yaakov limping at the end? The Torah never tells us it's a dream. The Torah's not shy of telling us it's a dream. Yaakov has a dream. The Torah's crystal clear about that. The Ramban has no problem with more supernatural type of ideas like interacting and talking, communicating with angels. There are those who strongly disoppose to the Rambam even more than the Ramban. Rabbeinu Yonah, for example, or Shlomo Menahar. Some of these are people who went out and burned the Rambam's books and the Maimonidean controversy. They went on a crusade against the Rambam. The Ramban was much more respectful of the Rambam. He never joined the Maimonidean controversy. He did disagree with the Rambam, disagree with him strongly, but never goes to war against him. He disagrees with the Ibn Ezra. He actually critiques the Ibn Ezra, although he respects the Ibn Ezra. He is somewhat critical of him. He critiques him probably more severely than others, which is out of his character, slightly out of his nature. We'll talk about it in a little bit. But we spoke about that's in terms of what we quote. We spoke about how the Ramban was one of the first ones to introduce Sefer Bereishis and Sefer Shemot, the book of Galus and Geula, and Sefer Vayikra is the continuation to Har Sinai. What is Sefer Devarim? Midbar and Devarim, etc., etc., etc. Probably the reason why the Ramban became so unbelievably popular, certainly his commentary on Chumash, is because his Parashat Chumash is probably more of a Hashkafic Sefer than one of Parshanot. There is a lot of Parshanot, there is a lot of exegesis, there is a lot of interpreting biblical verses and explaining Pesukim, but there's a tremendous, tremendous amount of Hashkaf. I think the Chassam Sofer was one of the first ones who pointed this out. I think Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, the guys in Gush joke around, and say, quote him to say, if he was on a desert island, he had three books he wanted to take. One would be the Rambam, one would be the Minchas Chinuch, one would be the Ramban and Chumash. And I think it's because it's just a tremendously important, it's a foundational, fundamental book about just the major yesodos and ideology of Hashkafa. For example, he deals with major, major topics that I'll list for some of them for you. The Ramban, his commentary on Chumash, the Ramban on Chumash. He talks about Bereishis and how creation occurred. He actually may have been mechavin to the Big Bang Theory. He talks about the value of Mesorah, the significance of Eretz Yisrael, the significance of Am Yisrael, the purpose of man, what miracles, and how Hashem doesn't need to prove himself in every generation. Rather, Yetzias Mitzrayim happened once, and it's the goal is to carry on out the recognition of miracles, which obviously also covers the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It discusses about revelation and the goal of the role of Torah Shebaal Peh, the role of the Mishkan, how it's supposed to be a house to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and not just a place to have a place to, you know, keep Caleb for the Beis HaMikdash. He talks about the significance of Karbanos, now they bring you closer to Hashem. He talks about the letter of the law, not just the spirit of the law, not just the letter of the law. The spirit of the law talks about Kedoshim Tihiyu and how a person should not be a novel Bereshis HaTorah. The Ramban commentary is extremely, extremely important in terms of developing Hashkafas HaTorah. If you think about it, most major Hashkafic topics are addressed by the Ramban and the Ramban in this Perush on Chumash. It really is just a work of art. In addition, there's a commentary on Eov, and there he discusses why good happens to bad people and bad happens to good people. It's not just a translation of the Pesukim, but he's viewed the Sfarim of Tanakh as Hashkafically oriented. What's the Hashkaf? What's the theme of Sefer Bereishis? And he himself is a real Baal Hashkaf. That's in terms of his commentary on Tanakh. In terms of his commentary on Gemara, so he really has four different things that he wrote. One is called Sefer Tashlum Halachos, which he completed the Rift. The Rift didn't get a chance to finish all of the Masechtas. And then the Masechtas that the Rift didn't finish, the Ramban adds in on. That's one of his commentaries. Number two, and this is much more reflective of who he is in general, he wrote a book called the Melchemes Hashem, which literally means the War of God. He wrote it at age 16, which is extremely impressive in and of its own right. The Melchemes Hashem, Melchemes they call it. There he defends the Rif against the Baal Amar. The Rif was the Gadol Adar. The Rif was one of the major Gadolim from Spain. And the Baal Amar came from Provence, which is a different country, different halachic culture. And it was a young guy, an 18-year-old, starts attacking the Gadol Adar and saying the Rif is wrong here, and the Rif is wrong there, and the Rif Paskin wrong here, and the Rif Paskin wrong there. The Ramban wanted to defend the Rif against the Baal Hamar. So he wrote a book, which is called the Melchemes Hashem, the War for God, just to show you how seriously he took the Baal Amar's attack, and he defends the Rif against the Baal Amar, and in general, the Ramban is one of the great defenders throughout Jewish history. He always defends, not always, but often defends the traditional approach. He defends the Bahag, we'll talk about this in a little bit. He defends the Bahag against the Rambam. The Rambam wrote a book called Sefer Mitzvahs, a list of the 613 Mitzvahs, which in the beginning of it, the Rambam enumerates 14 different ways of knowing whether or not we count one of the Mitzvahs. That in and of itself is an undermining critique to the Bahag who didn't do it. The Bahag just listed the 613 mitzvahs. The Rambam wrote a bunch of principles and the rules, how to figure out what is a mitzvah or not. The Rambam disagrees with the Bahag numerous times and very, very often. A large percentage of the Ramban's commentary on the Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs is just designed to defend the Bahag, to defend the Bahag's count, to defend the Bahag's halacha. There's all sorts of defenses that the Ramban has for the Bahag, and it's his general style to defend people. That's what the Melchemes Hashem was all about. It's a very difficult book to read. The Ramban was not such a clear writer in his younger days. It's having to be printed in a very small printing as well, but it really takes a lot to really work out a Melchemes. In addition, the Ramban wrote a book called Sefer HaZchus, in which he defends the Rif against the Ravid. Not only was the Rif attacked by the Baal Amar, it was attacked by the Ravid, and the Ramban writes Sefer HaZchus defending the Rif as well. So he has two books defending the Rif and one really against the Bahag. And number four, the fourth thing he wrote is Chidush and Matshas. It's just separate Chidush and Torah. It's separate ideas, major things that commentary on the Gemara. And that's what we pointed out earlier on. Really, it reflects the style of the Balei HaTosfos. He pointed out he also wrote a commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs. That's where he defends often the Bahag against the Rambam. And he wrote many Sefer HaShkafas as well. He wrote a book called Toldos HaAdam. He wrote the Gerrit Ramban, he wrote Sefer HaGeulah. Some talk about what's going to happen in Mashiach's time. Some talk about are more Musa-oriented. Some have a whole bunch. It's like, I think they put out these Kisvei HaRamban. You may have seen them. The Musar of Cook has put out Kisvei HaRamban. There's a real broader thinking individual, the Ramban was. He was a real broader thinking individual. But more than just Gemara, well-educated in all the areas, and really wrote on it as well. In terms of his personality, he was a very gentle individual. You see it in his introduction. It's written with a tremendous amount of humility. He doesn't write, you know, like others do. I know so much, let me just share with you. It's very respectful, very humble. Maybe I should make a comment and this and that. And you see from the fact he wouldn't join those who excommunicated the Rambam. He was not interested in that. He was a gentle personality. He was the defender, as he pointed out before. Again, he wasn't interested in revolutionizing the world as much as he was giving over major yesodos. In terms of the personality, you pointed out his thoughts on the Rambam, Rav Shlomo Menahar, or better known as Rav Shlomo Montpierre, wanted him to join the anti-Maimonidean campaign to go against the Rambam, burning his books and telling the whole world he was a kofer. Although the Ramban didn't disagree a lot with the Rambam, as we pointed out earlier on, he did not join this campaign. In a letter to the French Rabbanim, he defended the Rambam. He says the Mishnah Torah is a machmer sefer. Additionally, the Maror Nevuchim was not designed to address those with unshaken faith, but rather to those with lesser faith, and therefore don't be so critical of the Rambam. I'm not sure that's really true in terms of why the Rambam wrote the book, but the Rambam was trying to defend it. In terms of the Ramban's personality, he's a tremendous, tremendous tzioni. He talks about how it's a big mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, to build Eretz Yisrael. He spoke about how the Avos only kept Torah in Eretz Yisrael and didn't have to keep the 600 mitzvahs in Chutz La'aretz. He talks about the entire reason why we keep mitzvahs in Chutz La'aretz is to know how to do them properly in Eretz Yisrael. And he returned to Eretz Yisrael at a late age. He moved, made Aliyah, returned to Eretz Yisrael. And we'll talk about that story in a minute. Questions, comments? What? 1149. In 1263, the Ramban was invited to debate one of the major Christian theologians of the time, Pablo Christiani. It's a very, very famous debate. The topics of the debate were, number one, whether the Mashiach had come or not. Number two, whether or not the Mashiach would be human or divine. And number three, which faith was correct, Judaism or Christianity. Needless to say, a lot of those topics are going to overlap, but those were the three major topics. And if you read the debate, it's written up, it's unbelievably impressive how good the Ramban was. Let me step back. It's unbelievable how good Pablo Christiani was for a Christian. He knew the Bible backwards and forwards. He knew the Hebrew backwards and forwards. He knew the Midrashim backwards and forwards. There's not a person in this room who would have stood up to Pablo Christiani. You all would have lost. He had great attacks from Midrashim on Parshas Hazinu that you've never seen or heard of. And the Ramban was just mamsh, unbelievable. Just really tore him to shreds. And they kicked him out of Spain. He was banished from Spain after the king saw how he recorded the debate. And he went to southern France for 3 years. Eventually he continued on towards Eretz Yisrael. He built a shul here in the old city, most likely the Ramban shul, or at least that area he built a shul, but where the Ramban shul is, most likely that's where he davened. Alternatively, it's where Kever David is. Most likely that's where David is not buried there, most likely. Either the Ramban davened there, or he davened where the Ramban shul is. Obviously, there's a good chance for the Ramban shul, that's why they named it after him. In 1267, 1268, he came to Eretz Yisrael. There was no minyan there, so the Ramban gathered minyanim, people, to come up and make a minyan from Hebron. He brought up two Sefer Torah as well. While the Ramban was in Eretz Yisrael, he began to learn the geography more and realized some of the comments he made in his Chumash were, his comments in Chumash were incorrect. He went back and he edited them. And again, an open-minded person, an impressive person in terms of open-mindedness and truth, in terms of options of thought. He took over for Rabbi Yechiel of Paris, who made Aliyah well beforehand. And while he was in Eretz Yisrael, he delivered a famous drasha, the Rosh Hashanah, the famous drasha, Rosh Hashanah, Shuvah drasha, which made its mark. That's more or less what we have to say about the Ramban.